Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start with some articles from AARP, the magazine, under the heading of American Pilgrimages. So let's look at the 9/11 Memorial in New York City. It's a quiet place and respectful. This is by Gordon Haberman. He has traveled with his wife from Wisconsin to the 9/11 Memorial nearly every year since it opened in 2011. Their daughter, Andrea, was in the World Trade Center for a business meeting among the nearly 3,000 people who died in the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks. We gravitate, of course, to Andrea's name on the North Fountain. Haberman, 73, says, every year on the 11th, they close the plaza and museum to just family members for part of the day, and those times are more poignant because everybody's in the same situation. It's a quiet place and respectful. Then they wished for a trip. Wish of a Lifetime from AARP fulfills older Americans' lifelong dreams and has helped people make pilgrimages. One example is Sharon Justice, 77, of Sacramento, California, who in 2022 retraced her great-grandfather's steps at Ellis Island and viewed her family's immigration and naturalization documents. It changed my life to understand how I got here today. Learn more at wishofalifetime.org. And then back to the 9/11 article. The power of the plaza, which has drawn more than 72 million visitors, comes not only from the location but its design. There are two pools, each about an acre, where the Twin Towers once stood. The square black cavities are surrounded by bronze parapets with 2,983 victims' names inscribed on them. The open space and reflecting pools frame the enormous absence created, said Cliff Chanin, director of the 9/11 Memorial Museum. James Wittig, M.D., worked with the medical team at Ground Zero and gave the museum its 9/11 artifacts, which he had sealed in a bag for 21 years. In 2022, he traveled there from his home in Morristown, New Jersey. It was such a relief not only to release my sadness and negative energy, but to remember how everybody came together. And this article was by Ken Budd. If you go, you can fly to LaGuardia Airport, take a taxi to Lower Manhattan. Museum admission ranges from $21 to $33, and retired U.S. military can enter for free. Or maybe you would like to go to Graceland in Memphis, Tennessee. For music fans, there is probably no more sacred site in America than Elvis Presley's home. Since it opened to the public in 1982, roughly 600,000 people have explored the mansion each year. At Graceland, you get to know Elvis the person, not the image. You see the music room where he played gospel tunes on the piano. You see the exotic jungle room with its waterfall, green shag carpeting on the floor and ceiling, and faux fur Polynesian-style furniture. A hideaway where Elvis liked to eat breakfast. I feel a powerful longing to just be there, says Mary Hertwick, who has visited Graceland more than 60 times since 2017. Her favorite space is the meditation garden where Elvis and his family are buried and where she feels a spiritual presence. Angie Marchese is a 34-year-old employee of Graceland, first as a tour guide and now vice president of archives and exhibits. She describes the experience. You're walking through the same door that Elvis did when he bought the house in 1957. When he brought Lisa Marie home from the hospital where he would greet friends. If you go, Graceland is about 4 miles from Memphis International Airport. Admission is $82. While in Memphis, many fans also visit Sun Studio. Tickets are $20, where Elvis first recorded. Next, Pearl Harbor. I imagined enemy aircraft bearing down. We all know that December 7th, 1941 was a date which will live in infamy. But to ensure that no one forgets the Japanese attack on the U.S. Naval Base in Hawaii, the Pearl Harbor National Memorial opened in 1962. For decades, World War II vets and family members of the more than 2,400 Americans who perished at Pearl Harbor have been among the more than 1.5 million annual visitors. But even those without strong ties make pilgrimages. Journalist Denise Goolsby, 63, remembers interviewing eight Pearl Harbor survivors about 15 years ago. Their stories were harrowing and horrifying as they recalled the sheer devastation. In 2020, Goolsby went to see Pearl Harbor herself. My heart sank. I thought about the survivor vets who had become such a special part of my life. I imagined enemy aircraft bearing down from all directions. I walked to where visitors can still see the eerie remains of the USS Arizona. One of the veterans I interviewed was on the USS Tennessee, docked right in front of the Arizona, and recalled the explosion and the flames. It all happened right where I was standing, says Kathy Strong. If you go, fly to Honolulu's Daniel K. Inouye International Airport. Entry to Pearl Harbor's Visitor Center and Museum is free. To visit the USS Arizona Memorial, make a reservation at recreation.gov. Now we're going to look at four popular international pilgrimages. There's Mecca. Every year, millions of Muslim pilgrims gather in Saudi Arabia to pray around the Kaaba, Islam's holiest shrine, and recreate Muhammad's journey to Mecca. As one of the five pillars of Islam, the five-day pilgrimage called Hajj is said to absolve pilgrims of their sins, strengthen their connection to God, and build Muslim unity. Then there's Lourdes. Christian pilgrims flock annually to this tower in southwestern France, where they visit the sanctuary of Our Lady of Lourdes and the Massabielle Grotto. The latter is the site where the Virgin Mary was reportedly spotted by a local in 1858. The water at Lourdes is believed by many to offer miraculous healing and medical cures. The Western Wall, also known as the Wailing Wall, this is an important prayer and pilgrimage site for the Jewish people. The site in the Old City of Jerusalem is the last remnant of the retaining wall surrounding the Temple Mount, one of the holiest sites in Judaism. Today, it is customary for people to put slips of paper inscribed with prayers into the cracks of the wall. And finally, Beatles site in Liverpool and London. Tours often include stops at Penny Lane and Strawberry Field in Liverpool, plus the Cavern Club, where the band regularly performs before their rise to stardom. Many also trek to London to visit the famed crossing at Abbey Road and Abbey Road Studios, where the Fab Four recorded their masterworks. And this section was by Julie Goldenberg. Now we're going to look at AARP, the Bulletin, for a few minutes. Under the heading of Your Life, When It Breaks, your fast action guide to replacing high-priced home items. The refrigerator just went kaput, and you need to replace it ASAP. No need to worry, we've got you covered. It may have been a while since you last shopped for major home items, and a lot has changed. Use this shopper's guide to get up to speed on the latest models and options for household essentials. Let's look at washers and dryers. When washing machines give up the ghost, they typically leave you with a soggy mess. Before that, a bad smell might be a sign it's time to replace. Older units may lose the ability to adequately self-clean, and inner parts can loosen, causing the unit to lose its uniform spinning. Plus, there's a lot of water involved with each load. Leaks can emerge. Once washers and dryers wear out, the typical path is to replace with same-size units. But as kids move out, consider downsizing your machines to save money, space, and energy usage. Top loading is back. Though most experts a decade ago would have recommended a front-loading model for maximum efficiency, top-loading models have improved substantially in recent years, making the choice of one of personal preference, says Patricia Richardson, who hosts The Laundry Guy on Discovery. So are stackables. Stackable washers and dryers have also improved in recent years, Richardson says, and many side-by-side models are built to stack as well. Another new space-saving design is the all-in-one machine, which can wash and dry clothes without the need to transfer them. Expect more sensors. Today's washing machines can sense the level of dirt on clothes and the size of the load to determine the appropriate amount of water to use. That can be confusing at first for folks used to an older machine who might wonder why the machine doesn't fill with water. Dryers also now have sensors that automatically adjust the cycle time based on the size and dampness of the load. No need to agitate. Many of today's models no longer have an agitator in the middle of the cavity. That can save on water bills, says Andrew Morris, senior manager of the Alliance for Water Efficiency. Those still work well, and they're gentler. What you'll pay. A matching washer and dryer set typically runs $1,000 to $2,300, whether the units are stackable or side-by-side. If you need just one or the other, expect a cost of $700 to $1,300 for a washer or $800 to $1,200 for a dryer, according to data from HomeGuide.com. Refrigerators. When your refrigerator stops running, you might have to scramble to buy a new one before your food spoils. Non-warranty repairs are expensive, so buying a new is often sensible after a fridge is 8 years old. Here's what is new. A different door. Some refrigerator front doors have windows so you can view the contents, while others boast a built-in computer screen for displaying photos and notes. Indoor ice makers have evolved as well. Higher-end versions offer ice crushed or in crescents, cubes, and other shapes for choices when cooling beverages. High-tech cooling. For a price, you can have a fancier interior, too. You can find multi-point LED lighting, flexible shelving, multiple food-specific refrigeration zones, and even ethylene gas filters so the rest of your groceries don't spoil as fast, says Honey Homes General Manager Andrew Peroy. You can even find models with internal cameras so you can access via smartphone to check from the supermarket to see whether you're out of milk. Lower power needs. Today's refrigerators are more efficient than those sold 5 to 10 years ago. While fridges with an ENERGY STAR rating are the most efficient, even a model with average efficiency should deliver energy and utility bill savings, says Jill Notini, Vice President of Communications for the Association of Home Appliance Manufacturers. What you'll pay? A basic model will cost about $500. Higher-end tech-enabled models often cost $2,000 to $3,500. Top-end units designed to be built into the cabinetry can run as high as $10,000. Next, there's televisions. TVs don't break so much as they become obsolete, or consumers just want to upsize. Either way, TVs are one of America's favorite splurges. Some 40.9 million were sold in the U.S. last year, or roughly one for every 8 Americans. Pros suggest upgrading every 4 to 6 years, like a computer. Older TVs have out-of-date technology that can affect viewing and performance. LED lights can start losing brightness after 4 years. Here's what to expect when you shop. Prepare to upsize. Today, the most commonly owned TV is 55 inches, as measured diagonally, but that's rising fast. 85-inch TVs at home aren't uncommon, thanks to better flat-screen technology. Focus on two technical standards. TV technology can be a jumble of confusing acronyms. OLED, QLED, LCD, 4K, 8K, HDR, and more. focus on just two qualities. The first is resolution, essentially the number of pixels on the screen. Today's standard is 4K, which has four times the resolution of HDTV, the gold standard of years past. Though the salesperson might try to steer you to a high-end 8K television, say, no thanks, there's really no content available in 8K today. The other thing to look for is high dynamic range. TVs that qualify as HDR have much more vivid colors and crisp details. Once you choose a 4K HDR model, the other technical distinctions matter less, says John Cooling, Senior Vice President of Entertainment at Dolby Laboratories. TV as Internet Gateway. A smart TV is simply a TV built to connect seamlessly, usually via Wi-Fi, so no cables needed to your internet service. Smart is the way to go if you want to access any streaming service or view anything that is online. Smart TVs use third-party software, such as Roku or Amazon Fire, which helps you navigate the huge range of available digital content, whether free or purchased. Expect new brands. Shoppers were once encouraged to go with Samsung, LG, or Sony for quality sets, but brands from Amazon, Vizio, Hisense, and TCL are considered trustworthy, and often they're cheaper. Try to look at the TVs side by side to determine which you prefer. One negative: sound TV. Makers focus on the visual quality of their products, assuming you'll likely buy a separate sound system, ranging from a simple sound bar that sits under the TV to elaborate multi-speaker systems. But you'll pay. A well-equipped 55-inch 4K smart TV can be found for less than $500. Bigger size, better resolution, or more features can add significantly to that price tag. But capabilities found only in top-of-the-line TVs a few years ago are now core offerings in TVs at all prices, Cooling says. Now let's look at dishwashers. You may be tempted to just wash dishes by hand if your dishwasher breaks, but that's much less efficient in terms of electricity and water than replacing your old one. New dishwashers boast big improvements. Cycles are more efficient. The most efficient dishwashers complete an entire wash using less than 3.5 gallons of water, far less than older models or what you would use to wash those dishes by hand. The amount of water that today's dishwashers use is obscenely low when you think about the level of cleanliness and sanitation that's happening, says Michael Cornell, Innovation Lab technologist with Asurion, an appliance repair company based in Nashville, Tennessee. But they take longer. To get that efficiency, dishwashers use recirculation technology with pumps and filters to cut down on the amount of water. Though new technology shortens drying cycles, washing takes more time. A standard dishwasher cycle can take upwards of 2 hours. Seen and not heard. When it comes to noise, dishwashers have improved so much that people can be standing in the kitchen and forget that the machine is running. In addition to better insulation around the unit, the lower noise level reflects a shift from a plastic tub to stainless steel, which better dampens the sound of jetting water. All digital. Like most other home appliances, dishwasher controls have gone digital. Some feature more futuristic LCD panels or a touchscreen. You'll need to decide whether you want the controls on the front of your dishwasher or on the top of the door, where they're concealed when it's closed. Having them concealed looks nice, says Angie Hicks, Chief Customer Service of Angie, formerly Angie's List, the home repair referral company, but it's also harder to see how much longer the dishwasher has to go when it's running. Ask about extras. An adjustable upper rack provides flexibility which loads make up of different size dishes. If that doesn't come standard, it's worth asking a salesperson if that feature is available. Also consider an option for a quick wash cycle. Though these are less energy efficient, they can be helpful when you're in a time crunch. what you'll pay. Prices for most models fall between $400 and $1,200. Expect to pay more for bells and whistles, such as Wi-Fi connectivity, dual drawer design, or a third rack for utensils. Well, we have one more in this section of appliances, so let's look at toilets now. When a toilet craps out, you can replace it with one that has upgrades and uses less water, potentially saving big bucks on your monthly water bill. A smaller flush. New toilets use about a quarter of the water of older toilets. Low flow, initially found only in higher-end toilets, is almost ubiquitous these days, Perry says. You can cut water usage even more by looking for the WaterSense label, which indicates the toilet uses only 1.28 gallons per flush. The federal standard is 1.6 gallons. Toilets made before 1992 use 3.5 gallons or more. Height choices. The standard toilet height is about 15 inches, but models labeled as comfort, chair, or easy rise a couple of inches. The higher a toilet is, the easier they are to get on and off, says Mark Collins, chief executive officer of 1-800-PLUMBER plus air. If someone has bad knees or a bad back, it would be better to go with a taller toilet. And for a price, accessories. Today's toilets can come with built-in bidets, heated seats, and even lighting. Some models play music, have motion-activated lids, or automatic flushing. What you'll pay? Basic toilets cost about $300. If you're interested in a premier brand such as Toto or Kohler with custom features, be prepared to spend upwards of $2,000. Now, for the rest of our time today, let's go back to AARP, the magazine, and we're still looking at some adventures that you can take. Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. You try to feel what they felt. This bridge is small, no architectural marvel. That isn't why people come to see it. On March 7, 1965, roughly 600 civil rights marchers peacefully approached the Edmund Pettus Bridge and were clubbed and tear-gassed by police. More than 15 people were hospitalized and others treated for injuries on Bloody Sunday. That afternoon changed the whole meaning of democracy, says marcher Joanne Bland, 70. People who had felt left out stood up and said, "We want full citizenship. That bridge represents freedom. It's a symbol that says, I have power to enact change." Bland, then 11, was one of many young activists recruited because adult protesters often feared losing their jobs. Shocked by the violence and tear gas, she fainted, then awoke in a car, her head in her sister's lap. Only when fully awake did she realize that what she thought were tears on her face was actually blood. Today, Bland and fellow protester Kirk D. Carrington Sr. lead tours in Selma. The bridge, they say, endures as a pilgrimage site because it symbolizes our yearning for liberty and the sacrifices that demands. Denise Davidson is a Pettus Bridge pilgrim. She has visited other African-American historic sites, but especially wanted to see the bridge, named after a grand dragon of the Alabama Ku Klux Klan. In June 2023, she and a friend took a silent, solemn walk across it, with the Alabama River chugging below. "You imagine the people who marched that day," Davidson said, "and try to feel what they felt." If you go, fly into Montgomery Regional Airport and drive 45 minutes to Selma. Stop at the Free Selma Interpretive Center at the foot of the bridge for exhibits and information on it and other important civil rights sites. And we have three more American pilgrimages if you have passion about architecture. For a Windy City pilgrimage, the Chicago Architecture Center offers tours of the city's many impressive structures, and the Frank Lloyd Wright Trust hosts tours of four of the architect's noteworthy works, such as the Unity Temple in nearby Oak Park, Illinois. For baseball, Big League Tours offers trips to stadiums in six regions. Its nine-night East Coast tour features six games in five cities, plus a trip to the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown, New York. Similar treks are available through Grand Slam Baseball Tours and Dream Baseball Tours. For country music, Nashville, Tennessee is loaded with iconic sites from the historic Ryman Auditorium, former home of the Grand Ole Opry, to the Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum. Nashville Music City provides guidance. Tour Radar offers a multi-night package for CMA Fest in June. Well, we've missed June, haven't we? And finally, the California Missions Trail, San Diego to Sonoma, California. Religious pilgrims have walked Spain's Camino del Santiago for centuries, but California has its own sort of Camino, an 800-mile trail with 21 missions built between 1769 and 1823. Julie Amaya, 65, has walked both the Spanish and California trails, but her connections to the California Missions Trail run deep. Amaya's ancestors walked part of the route during an 18th-century expedition to colonize San Francisco. She went to Mission San Juan Bautista while in fourth grade and later visited many of the missions with her two young sons. Within the past 8 years, Amaya has lost both sons. After each tragedy, she felt compelled to walk the trail. I needed the time, solitude, and space to sort out my life. Contemplation is common on the trail, says Laura Harris of Bozeman, Montana, who completed the walk in May 2021. You get out of your safe space and get to know yourself better. You see the world at 2 miles an hour. If you go, for more information, go to missionwalk.org or californiamissionstrail.org. Good guidebooks are Hiking and Cycling the California Missions Trail and California Mission Walk. And now let's finish with a few more interesting items about your brain. We're up to number 83. Did you know people with depression suffer the most in the early morning? Did you know that studies show that women are more likely than men to develop in-group biases? And did you know working memory utilizes two brain areas in sync? And did you know that connections within the hippocampus break down during normal aging? Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.